Hello, everyone, and welcome to McGill Care's webcast series, Supporting Family and Informal Caregivers. I'm Claire Webster, a former caregiver, certified dementia care consultant, and founder of McGill University's Dementia Education Program. I work with a dynamic team of leading healthcare professionals to oversee the program, who include Dr. José Maret from the Division of Geriatric Medicine and Dr. Serge Gauthier, Professor Emeritus, formerly of the McGill University Research Center for Studies in Aging. McGill Cares is supported by the Amelia Saputo Community Outreach for Dementia Care. The McGill Dementia Education Program offers a comprehensive range of free resources to educate and support persons living with dementia, family and informal caregivers, healthcare professionals, medical students, and the public at large. One of our most important resources is the Dementia Companion Guide, which is currently available in close to 10 different languages. It could be downloaded for free online, or printed copies are available to purchase at a cost of $20, which go to support our program at Amazon. We also have an extensive library of past McGill Cares webcasts, close to 100 episodes right now, as well as other virtual support and education resources to support all of you, all for free. So today's topic is exercise and cognitive health. My guest is neuropsychologist Louis Barrère, who is professor in the Department of Medicine at the Université de Montréal. He is also the director of the Centre EPIC at the Montreal Heart Institute, where he holds the Mirella and Lino Saputo Research Chair in Cardiovascular Diseases and the Prevention of Cognitive Decline. He is also a researcher at the Institut Universitaire de Gériatrie de Montréal. Professor Barrère's research examines how cognitive health can be improved and maintained as we age. In particular, he's looking at the impact of physical fitness on cognitive vitality in late adulthood. Today, he will be discussing how participating in an active lifestyle can help prevent and delay cognitive decline in normal aging and dementia. Welcome to McGill Cares.
Thank you, Claire, for this wonderful introduction. Thank you all for being here. So today, in fact, I'm going to talk to you about ways of preventing cognitive decline as we age and how to maintain an active lifestyle so that we promote healthy brain. And I'm going to start first by disclosing that I have no conflict of interest and that all my research are supported by public funding. In order to start, I would like to remind us that some people do age very healthy, at least as it has to do with the brain. And I want to start with a few examples of those people. Just to remind you that Doris Lessing and also a Canadian, Alice Munro, were lucky to live very long in their life and could use their brain very, you know, wonderfully, and were honored by the Nobel Prize for their masterpiece, writing masterpiece. And as a matter of fact, I think Madame Lessing started to write very late in her 60s. So those are examples. And if you're not convinced, because you might say, you know, well, maybe they had a background and they were lucky and they come from a distant place. Well, even here in Quebec, you have some example. And even in different sort of cognitive abilities, for example, this man here, Gérard Lavoie, who's an accountant, and at 100 years old, still provide tax reports for his clients. So at 100 years old, you can still use your brain in a very powerful way. So how to age with a healthy brain? This is the challenge that everybody wants to answer. And the answer for this, as long as I'm concerned, will come from researchers I was involved in and some other people in the world were involved in that led us to believe that the way we stay active in our life, for example, what we eat, the number of hours we engage in physical activity or cognitive stimulation will have an impact on the risk of developing dementia, but also of maintaining cognition, the sharper functions, cognitive functions as we can expect as we age, because we have to distinguish the neurodegeneration that comes with aging dementia, for example, but also the way the brain changes in a normal way, which will impact the way we can use it and how we can deal with the environment. So lifestyle function, the lifestyle choices will have an impact on the way we age. And all those lifestyle also have a major impact on how your body health age in general, how your heart will age. And there's a close interaction between the healthy heart and brain. And we know that. We've known that for decades now. And here at the EPIC Center from the Montreal Heart Institute, we try to engage people in those kind of research where we will ask them to change their lifestyle, both in engaging in physical activity on a regular basis, but also in challenging stimulation for cognition, and also to follow proper diet. And so in this context, we've done research to try to show that lifestyle not only have an impact in a primary prevention approach, which means that you're trying to stay away from pathological aging, you know, aging in a healthy way, so to speak, but also in a secondary preventive approach, which means that even if you've been potentially bad luckily and developed some memory dysfunction, for example, and you would categorize as someone that has mild cognitive impairment, well, these patients have a greater chance to develop neurodegeneration as they age, but they also would benefit from changing their lifestyle. And research has shown that physical activity and cognitive stimulation can have an impact even in this secondary approach. And we'll also see a little bit later that in a tertiary approach, which means that even with patients that have dementia, exercise and stimulation can have a positive impact. So in a primary prevention approach, in order to avoid cognitive deficit and decline, we've known for a long time, and it's been really well captured by many reports, including this one from the Lancet Commission, published in 2020, which was a second prediction because they've done a report like this a few years before in 2017. And these reports are showing that if you engage very early in life in promoting lifestyle, for example, trying to manage chronic diseases, of course, deal with hypertension, deal with diabetes, always make sure that these conditions are well managed, but also engage and promote a positive lifestyle, like, for example, healthy diet, doing exercise on a regular basis, you can expect to reduce in the population the relative risk of developing dementia by 30%, 30, 35. Some studies will go higher than 40%, which is a huge impact on healthy, on the economic burden that cognitive deficits and dementia can have on our society. Example of this, there's many. One very great paper that was published very recently was from a researcher from China, where they followed close to 30,000 people during 10 years. And they captured the lifestyle of those people by documenting how they ate, how much exercise they were doing, if they were engaged in social contact, and they were engaged in active cognitive stimulation on a regular basis, if they were avoiding from smoking and drinking. And altogether, they divided it in three types of lifestyles, so to speak, taking into account those six categories. And they divided people from unfavorable lifestyle, average favorable lifestyle, or favorable lifestyle. And they were able to show that those with favorable lifestyle were less likely to develop memory deficits over 10 years. And that it was also true for those who were identified as having the APOE4 gene, which is like a genotype associated with higher risk of developing dementia and Alzheimer's disease. So the bottom line is that even if you have those genes or if you don't, adopting an active lifestyle and a favorable lifestyle encompassing all those type of activities will decrease the risk of showing memory deficits over 10 years. I've mentioned that, I'm going to jump this one. So I've mentioned that the heart and the brain are extremely well connected. So in fact, we know that although very the percentage of people impacted by dementia tend to be low at 60 years old, for example, you'll see reports showing that 10, 12% of people at 60, 65 years old have risk of developing dementia. It become higher as we grow older, of course. But as early at 55 and 60 years old in Canada, 90% of people have a cardiovascular risk factor. And as you accumulate those factors, you increase the risk of showing cognitive deficits. Maybe not as much as you would see in people suffering from dementia, but having enough cognitive deficits to dissociate from normal aging people. As you accumulate those cognitive risk, cardiovascular risk factor, you also increase the likelihood of having cognitive deficits. So managing cardiovascular disease and chronic conditions is very important. Also, developing a lifestyle that is filled with cognitive stimulation activities. For example, in this study, which was published by the group from Chicago 20 years ago, actually, but the results don't stand nowadays. They've shown that following around 600 people, this is the famous Nunn study that you might have heard of, following 600 people for 6 years, and they tested their cognition at the beginning of the study. And what they showed is that where they were when they were dividing people in terms of cognitive stimulation they would seek in every week, for example, how many hours of reading, what type of reading they were doing, if they were playing games, for example, how stimulating those games were. And they would grade that and dissociate people with normal, like 50% of having a cognitive stimulation in real world in every week, or are you part of the 10% having more stimulation, or 10% of having less stimulation? And you can see the three group here: 10% having great stimulation, 50% being the middle, and 90% being the most cognitively active people. And what you see is when you look at the annual cognitive decline after 6 years, you can clearly see that those that are more active, mentally active, have less chance to show annual cognitive decline. Of course, this is also associated with the pathology there. This is a cumulative hazard of developing dementia, again, associated with seeking enrichment in cognition during the week. So, how many times do you read? What type of reading do you do? And you can see that if we dissociate here in two groups, the most active and the less active in blue have a more higher chance and steadily increasing over years to develop cognitive deficits and show signs of Alzheimer's disease. So cognitive stimulation or enrichment, so to speak, is extremely important and is one of those lifestyles that will have a great impact in the chances of developing cognitive deficits in general, but also dementia. Physical exercise has been one of the, I would say, important factor that's been studied a lot over the last years and decades. And benefits of physical activity in aerobic exercise have been well documented. Here you have an example of two great Canadians that have been studied by many researchers. We had the chance to test in many occasions Alice Cole, but also Ed Whitlock, two runners that have shown an incredible capacity in both in the physical side of things, but also in cognition and also in body composition. And when you look at athletes like that, you see that this is in the, from a different study in a different group, but you see that the level of VO2 max, so, which is the gold standard measure of cardiorespiratory health, so to speak, the level of VO2 max, of course, decline as they age, but because they were so high in fitness, the level they reach at 80 can sometimes be as high as a regular person who is inactive at 50 years old. So, in other words, the capacity, the physical capacity of these person is extremely high, and also, although it declines, it remains extremely high. And perhaps those person will never met the threshold of incapacity in their life. So, physical activity for the body, for the cardiorespiratory fitness, but also for functional capacity is extremely important. Now, for cognition, it's been documented as well in many type of studies, including epidemiological study, but also longitudinal study. And this is an example of a meta-analysis of prospective study in which you follow groups of people for many years. And in this study, they've gathered 15 studies for a total of 30,000 people that they follow 1 to 12 years. And they've shown that the risk of developing dementia in these people were 38% less in people that engage in high level of physical activity in a weekly basis. For those achieving low to moderate physical activity, the risk was low as 35% less to develop dementia over 1 to 12 years. So here again, physical activity shows to be a very important lifestyle factor that have a major impact in the risk of developing cognitive deficits. The reason for that is still under study, but we know that even when we look at brain volume, for example, here in the famous Framingham study, we can see that in those people staying more engaged in physical activity on a regular basis, brain volume will be maintained at a higher level over a certain number of years. Here, people are followed about around 10 years, and we dissociate both the high level of physical activity, and low level of physical activity, and the higher level of physical activity maintain a larger brain volume over all these this study period. This was also observed in very recent follow-up of larger cohort. For example, the UK Biobank here, which is a very well published cohort these days, they've looked at 78,000 people and looked at the number of steps that people were engaged in every day. And they were able to show that as soon as 3,600 steps a day, so I'm not talking about the big 10,000 step that everybody is talking about right now. Of course, 10,000 is probably the best, as you can see in the curve here, associated with the lowest risk of developing dementia. But as soon as a certain level is achieved, for example, 3,600 in this study, you lower the risk by 42% of developing dementia. So this is, again, another result that support the idea that physical activity has a strong impact on the risk of developing dementia. Why does it work like this? And why is physical activity so important is still, as I said, under studies studied. But we have more study coming out, and we need more mechanistic study, more intervention study. On the mechanistic side of things, there's hypothesis on how this work. We know that when we do engage in physical activity, there's a lot of cascades that are physiological cascades that are triggered. And one of the hypothesis is that when your body's engaged in physical activity, your larger muscle produce protein. Those protein have an impact. We're talking about myokines here. Which are proteins that are circulating in the blood after physical activity, and they have a role in stimulating other proteins like the VEGF, like IGF-1, like BDNF, and those proteins play a major role in brain plasticity by increasing neurogenesis, synaptogenesis, but also angiogenesis, and those mechanisms are extremely important in supporting brain function. And as a matter of fact, in some studies, including one from our lab, from Catherine Alexandra Gregoire, we've shown that strength training was a very efficient way to boost BDNF. Here you see a participant engaged in strength training for 3 months, and the improvement in BDNF, circulating BDNF in the blood. This is also supported by meta-analysis here by Marinus, who showed that strength training exercise combined with aerobic exercise is important, and just aerobic exercise sometimes doesn't do the trick, And if you want to improve BDNF, circulating BDNF in human, you have to combine both aerobic physical activity, but also strength training in order to maximize the production of BDNF. Well, I've talked about brain volume. This is another example of how brain volume can be maintained by daily physical activity. Here, it's accelerometry that was tested in human, showing that it's even more important in older adults. As you can see, the oldest group who shows the lower brain volume will show a larger effect of light physical activity as captured by accelerometry. So that if you walk every day, you improve the chance of maintaining a larger brain volume. This was also tested in randomized control trial. There's not that many randomized control trial, to be honest, that are convincing, that show convincing evidence of brain improvement in older adults. But this is certainly one of the good study in the field. Was led by Kirk Erickson, and they randomized like more than 100 older adults in aerobic exercise intervention, brisk walking around the track, a running track, versus toning and stretching, which was the control condition. And they were able to show that the brain volume, specifically around the hippocampus, and both in the left and the right side, show improvement, so larger brain volume after 6 months and 1 year of physical exercise, aerobic physical exercise, versus the control group who showed the typical decline in hippocampus volume, both right and left. And this is an important finding because we know that hippocampus volume is associated with cognitive decline and is actually a very critical region in patients with dementia. So if this study was to be reproduced, this is going to be a very strong evidence that key regions in the brain that are extremely important for memory can be improved in volume and as people engage in aerobic exercise on a regular basis. It also shows, though, that 2 to 3 months of physical exercise is probably not enough, that you need to at least engage in a 6 month training program. And ideally, according to this study, at least the results will show up after a year, which is a little bit different than what you see if you look at behavioral results. Because after 3 to 4 months, usually you see an improvement in cognition very quickly in older adults that engage in physical exercise. Just to conclude about the mechanistic aspect of this relationship between exercise and cognition, there's some great summary in the literature that you can be inspired from. For example, this one by Yumi Kaki, showing like all the pathways, potential pathways by which physical activity, which is behavior, can impact cognition. And of course, you can imagine that it tends to improve vascular health, reduce small vessel disease and stroke. As I said earlier, for some mechanistic by some mechanistic pathways, it increase synaptic plasticity and neuronal circuitry. This is probably linked, as I said, by molecular production and including BDNF, which has been documented a lot, improvement in blood flow, improvement in antioxidative stress, reducing inflammation, potentially reducing amyloid tau, but this is not something that's been documented a lot in the literature. But altogether, it improves neurogenesis and neuronal decline and decreased neuronal death. And potentially, this is all the mechanisms by which it improves brain volume and help maintain brain volume as we age. Now, so far, I've covered what we can call primary prevention because I've discussed healthy people and look at how they develop dementia in relation to physical activity and other lifestyle factors. But I've also mentioned earlier that lifestyle can also impact patients that are suffering from degeneration or disease associated with, for example, dementia, Alzheimer's disease, for example, or even Parkinson's disease. And we've shown, and not me, but some other researcher have shown in a very convincing way that physical activity can also positively impact the life of people suffering from dementia. In a recent paper, for example, this group, Zhang et al., they've looked at aerobic exercise and how it ameliorates cognitive function in mild cognitive impairment. I've discussed that earlier, that this mild cognitive impairment zone is between healthy aging and dementia. This is considered to be a prodrome of dementia because patients suffering from MCI have more than 40-50% chance of converting in dementia. Some other will not convert, which is still sometimes something that we don't understand. But we know that this is a stage of the factual cognitive deficits that have been documented. Sometimes patients are suffering from it or have the impression that it's changing. It usually doesn't impact their daily routine and life, but it is documented in tests. And when you look at those that engage in physical aerobic exercise on a regular basis, Zhang and Al have shown that it is associated with improvement in mental state, as shown by the mini mental state examination and the MoCA, and also reduce the score at the ADAS-Cog, which is a scale of dementia. So the lower here, the better. And in the two other tests, the higher, the better. So you can easily see that aerobic exercise tends to ameliorate cognition, even in people suffering from mild cognitive impairment. What about dementia? Again, there's some studies out there suggesting that dementia symptoms, including cognition, can be improved by physical exercise. Here's a meta-analysis by Groot, including 18 RCTs, randomized controlled trials, for a total of around 800 patients. And they've shown a positive effect on global cognition that was equivalent in patients suffering from non-Alzheimer's disease dementia or Alzheimer's disease dementia. I've mentioned Parkinson's disease, for example, another very debilitating neurodegeneration disease, affecting mainly motor functions. This is not trivial in the context of our discussion today, because we can imagine that those patients suffering from motor symptoms are less likely to engage in physical activity, and maybe sometimes by the family or even the doctor, they'll be discouraged to engage into too much physical activity because of the risk of falling, for example. But as a matter of fact, this is the contrary that should be suggested, because what is shown is that even in patients suffering from Parkinson's disease at an early stage, those who engage in physical activity on a more regular basis, that you could see in red here, compared to the blue zone where it's patients that are less active. As year passes, this is the scale with which we appreciate the evolution of the disease. You can see that patients that are more engaged in red here tend to develop the disease slower, so to speak. So they all start in an early stage, but they will evolve differently if they stay engaged in physical activity. So again, physical activity tends to have an impact here in a tertiary prevention approach, because it helps manage the disease that is already installed. A very, very trending approach right now is not only to engage in physical activity, but to look at interventions that will help people to engage in both physical activity, but also stimulating activity for the brain. This is an example here of, we can imagine a patient engaged in a physical exercise program, but also a program in which we will provide brain stimulation, games, or exercise. This is very efficient, and this is the approach that we're trying to do in my lab. So here we have pictures of my staff and students. They have You have Francis here, a kinesiologist who's supervising individualized exercise program, and also here Ramsey with another patient showing tricks on how to process with the executive control task that this patient is doing on an iPad. So the program now that we trend to promote are those that will combine these two type of exercise, both for the body but also for the brain. And this is based on, again, large cohort studies, longitudinal studies that are showing that when you look at leisure activities and you dissociate leisure activities that are physical engagement, cognitive engagement, and social engagement, it is easy to see here that you reduce all-cause dementia by both physical activity but also cognitive stimulation. Alzheimer's disease, when you look at different type of dementia, for example, the most two common one, Alzheimer's disease and vascular disease, you can see that physical activity and cognitive activity also have an impact on Alzheimer's disease reduction, but also vascular disease will tend to be reduced by physical activity, less likely by cognitive stimulation, but this is here a very weird result with a large variance. But the take home here is that physical activity always have an impact. Cognitive stimulation could also help reduce occurrence of Alzheimer's disease, and that altogether, this suggests that they can be combined in an efficient way. And I was also shown in a large intervention studies that dates back from potentially 10 years now, published by Mia Kivipelto, who launched this Finger program, where they combine cognitive stimulation and physical activity and nutrition guidance in patients for 2 years. They were patients with vascular risk, but no cognitive deficit to begin with. And they shown that the intervention tend to improve cognition in different domains, processing speed, executive function, but also memory, by being engaged in this effective combined intervention program. But in this study, one of the things that they did not do is to control for the domain of intervention alone, for example, exercise alone or cognitive stimulation alone. And this is something we engaged in comparing a couple of years ago when we launched this synergic trial led by Manuel Montero and also and myself, who took place in 5 different clinics in Canada, where we engaged patients with mild cognitive impairment. So to compare with the study I just showed you, the Finger study, this one was with documented patient with mild cognitive impairment. So they are more likely to develop dementia. They were randomized to both exercise or cognition or the two combined. And Manuel Otero, so myself, there was Louis Ambrose, Laura Middleton, Quincy Almeida. They were all leaders of the different sites. So another strength of this study is to have people from all the country engage in the intervention. And we compare different type of combination, as you can see here. So those engaged in physical exercise and cognitive training were in blue. And in green here, you see the control group who didn't get physical exercise and cognition. Just physical exercise, but not cognition. And in red here was the control group. So the group that did not get either cognitive stimulation or physical exercise. And so roughly 200 people were engaged in this trial. Around 35 to 40 people finished in each arm. And we were able to show that the group that was engaged in balance and toning and did not receive cognitive stimulation, when you look at a dementia scale like the ADAS-Cog, they show an improvement, an increase in the scale, which means that they were getting worse in dementia symptoms. The group that did the aerobic exercise alone remained stable, and the group that both that received both physical exercise intervention and the cognitive training intervention showed a reduction in dementia symptoms as the study progressed over 6 months of intervention. So for the main intervention, the absolute improvement was 1.8 on the ADAS-Cog, and the relative improvement was the 3.75 improvement. So This was a very strong demonstration that both physical activity and aerobic exercise together can lead to improvement in dementia symptoms. Now, before I stop, I want to also cover domains that I'm less involved in as a researcher, but are also have an impact on the risk of developing dementia. And I want to just briefly mention that nutrition is an extremely important factor, not only in longitudinal studies, but also in intervention studies, and that some studies suggest that avoiding pro-inflammatory meals and avoiding one of the very pro-inflammatory nutrition that we probably have no way to avoid in daily life is the ultra-transformed food. And studies have shown that there's an association with ultra-transformed food and the risk of developing dementia, to the point that reducing by only 10% extra transformed food can reduce, according to some longitudinal studies, can reduce by 20% the risk of dementia. That, of course, will have to be confirmed by clinical trials. But there's also studies showing that different type of food are important. For example, flavanols, they've been associated with better memory performances, to the point that some people will talk about memory boosting foods. I would like to be cautious about that. There's not that many intervention trial, but this is science that is supporting that these type of food that have anti-inflammatory and antioxidant components in it are likely to slow cognitive decline and improve memory. I also want to promote going to play outside, because just being exposed to nature seems to have an impact on stress. And stress is an enemy of memory, and chronic stress has been associated with an increased risk of developing cardiovascular disease, but also other chronic diseases that are associated with an increased risk of developing dementia. So there's studies suggesting that there's benefits of just being outside and spending more than 90 minutes a week outside in parks and green space could have an impact on chronic disease and potentially have a positive impact on cognition. Other type of physical activity that are less oriented towards improving aerobic fitness, but like dancing, for example, have a positive impact on health in general. In this study, for example, we've compared dancing 3 times a week for 3 months compared to aerobic exercise and control. And we've shown that dancing has a positive impact in reducing cortisol, cortisol awakening response. In other words, it reduced the chronic aspect of stress, and potentially this is one of the way that it's improved health in general, but also dancing has been associated with maintenance of cognitive functions and improving cognition in some trials. So potentially stress has a big role to play in it. Being exposed to art exposition, for example, visual art, music, it's associated with a reduced in stress, to the point that the World Health Organization has produced documents showing that in this report, for example, showing that there's evidence on the role of arts and improving health and well-being. In a study we're conducting right now with the Montreal Fine Arts Museum, we were able to show in a pilot study that when you engage in visual arts contemplation, when you visit the museum, your brain is engaged in a way that is associated with a reduction in stress. So again, another way to control stress and therefore improving chronic disease and reducing cognitive deficits is to be engaged in artistic activities on a regular basis. So in conclusion, and I'm sorry the confusion's in French, but this is Montreal, I guess, where we switch from one language to the other on a regular basis. So I'm sure you can follow that. What I've told you today is that being engaged in an healthy lifestyle that combines physical activity, cognitive stimulation, but also social engagement. I haven't talked too much about that, but social engagement, looking for a healthy diet that will, include fruits and vegetables, and especially green vegetables. Also controlling medical condition, chronic disease like diabetes, hypertension, for example. All these factors all together, we have to remember that they can have an impact so important that they can help reduce from 30 to 40% of dementia in the population. And that has a huge impact on the burden of dementia in the world right now. So just concluding by saying that if you're not close to a fitness center and it's difficult for you to be involved in physical activity on a regular basis, you're welcome to have a look on our YouTube channel at the Centre Epic. There's also many other YouTube products out there, and maybe other ways by Zoom or other physical activity opportunities to maintain an active lifestyle. And I hope that I've convinced you enough of the benefit of physical activity for promoting brain health in general. So I'll stop there and leave you with this thank you note, and inviting everyone who wants to know more to visit the website of the lab, but also from the Montreal Heart Institute, where you can find a couple of tricks on how to engage in the physical activity and healthy lifestyle. And if you're interested to collaborate and participate in some study, you have information here, please contact us and we'll help you connect with the important people in the field. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this very comprehensive presentation. So just to participate in those studies, is it free to participate? Like, are there any charges, or is it, people can participate for free? Okay,
you that's great. And actually benefit from a private trainer for free. That's the big thing out of it.
Okay, so we will make sure to also include that information on our website. I'm very happy that you mentioned the importance, though, of people who are diagnosed with dementia of staying active. I mean, I think that it provides people also a sense of purpose. It provides an opportunity for social stimulation as well. You know, for many couples who used to play golf or tennis together, for example, I think many people misunderstand is that you think a diagnosis of dementia means that they can no longer do anything, and that's totally false, especially if it's an activity that they've been playing for most of their lives, because it's long-term memory that stays for as long as possible. So, you know, there's so many people that you wake up in the morning and want to have a sense of purpose, which exercise provides, which is tremendous. So I have a question, because people watching now, that you provided so much information, and you know, when you say 3,600 steps, I'm assuming that means 30 minutes a day, right, of exercise?
It doesn't have to be 30 minutes a day. I mean, depends how fast you walk, but 3,000 steps is not that long to achieve. It's hard to capture in hours, but there's some studies, longitudinal studies in general, that are showing that as little as 10 to 15 minutes walk a day, if you walk every day, can also have a predictive effect on the long run. This is longitudinal study, so I'm not talking about an intervention yet. Of course, if you're talking about people that are sedentary or very inactive, 15 minutes a day wouldn't be enough. But on the long run in your life, that's what studies say. If people accumulate something around 15 minutes a day on a regular basis, so every day of the week, you start to have a predictive effect of exercise.
So in the ideal setting, what would be the minimum that people should walk per day? And I'm sorry, or how many times a week? And as well would be the question of, when you're talking about also combining some strength training or some yoga or some Tai Chi, how many days a week would that be good to
implement? So in when we prescribe exercise, we would say, okay, 3 to 4 times a week of, moderate to vigorous exercise, aerobic exercise, plus 2 times a week of strength training exercise should do the trick. Okay. 3 times a week of aerobic, two times a week of strength training exercise. In our trials, we tend to do both three times a week. There's a very important element here is the progression. So you have to make sure that you're improving in those exercises, or if it becomes too easy, you have to push yourself a little bit more. So in our trials, what we do is that we measure the capacity by heart rate capacity for the aerobic aspect of it and the maximal repetition for strength training. And we increase the difficulty as people get used to it, so to speak. This also helps people to adapt, because if you train for a year, you can have moments where you need to go down a little and other moments where you can push a little bit more. You have to be very sensitive to that, because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to have injuries or people in a state of overtraining. So that's very important. I always suggest that people should consult with a kinesiologist or some professional trainers. But kinesiologists are usually well-prepared person and well-trained person to guide someone who will want to engage in a new lifestyle habit of physical exercise. They also are very knowledgeable in providing different type of exercise that will need special needs. If you have injuries, for example, or if you add some condition that can limit exercise, kinesiologists can always help in that. So three times a week, aerobic, two times a week, strength training, as much as you can. I'm also a big believer of every day should be filled with a bit of exercise. So the day-to-day is important. And sometimes in some studies, it has a very strong impact when you look at the minimal exercise every day, rather than seeking for a large training session that you will not be able to maintain for a long time. Because remember, you can change aerobic condition very quickly, and the benefit of exercise can come very quickly. But for the brain, it tends to be longer a little bit, at least when you look at studies that have been published so far.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. And as mentioned, we will put the links to your study and to your YouTube channel and your program under the trusted resources section of our website. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
So this webcast is an initiative of the McGill Dementia Education Program, which is funded by private donations. If you would like to make a contribution to our program or for more information, please visit us at mcgill.ca/dementia. And if you would like to join our mailing list to be notified about upcoming episodes of McGill Cares, as well as other important programs and resources from us, please email us at dementia@mcgill.ca. Thank you for watching.